Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's My Pops Culture, starring my son Ben and me, his dad.
Do you really have to say it like that, Dad?
With our guest star, Real Housewives of Potomac's Gisele Bryant. Can't wait to throw shade and spill the tea.
Dad, do you even know what that means?
Ben.
Yes, sir.
Ben.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you because we actually have something in common, you and I.
For once.
Oh, for once.
For
once. We have a lot of things in common.
Sure.
Why do you always have to take something that I want to say nice and turn it to crapola?
I wouldn't say crapola. I'm just nudging you a little bit, just pushing your buttons a touch.
You sound like, you know, that character Debbie Downer. It's like, Ben, I want to share something really fun with you, something we share in common. Well, what is it? Wah,
wah. No, I feel like Debbie Downer taking another extreme with the depression.
Like what? What would you say?
Like, when you're like, oh, we have something in common, I'm not like, yeah, it's herpes.
Oh, I was going to say chlamydia. Okay. Anyways, you know what we have in common?
Yes.
We have in common a guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the term guilty pleasure even come from? Why is it guilty? Why is it guilty if you like something that you have to be kind of secretive about it?
I don't know. I don't know if there was like a shame associated with it or I don't really understand where it started, the whole idea of a guilty pleasure.
If something is pleasurable, why would it have to be guilty? Unless it's something you're shameful, like, oh, I have a sex dungeon in my basement and I love to sleep with horses. That would be a guilty pleasure or just a pleasure.
Okay. I mean, if the horses are consensual with it.
That's true. I'm sure maybe the horse would have some guilt. Anyways, you and I have a guilty pleasure.
We do have a guilty pleasure. Should we say what the guilty pleasure is? Or are we going to dance around it?
Count of three. One, two, three.
Real housewives.
Horses. What? Oh, housewives. Yes, we
real
have a,
horses.
The real horses of New Jersey. You and I love watching Bravo's The Real Housewives franchise.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Yes. Why do we... you know what? I know why I kind of like it, but why do you like it?
Because it's an escapist... It's an escapist show. It's dramatic. It's over the top. It's like... It's just... You can turn off your mind. You don't have to care about the worries of the world because it's just like, let's see their troubles for an hour.
And it's interesting that you say troubles because originally when the Real Housewives of Orange County came on, which is the OG of this franchise, it was about the aspirational lifestyle. It was like, what are these women like behind these gated communities?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what happened with that show is it starts off with, look how wonderful and how fabulous these ladies' lives are. And then you start to see as the next season goes and the next thing, cracks start to occur in their marriages, in their finances, and it becomes a train wreck. And I wonder if that's something we love to watch people fall off their high horse.
I think so. I think there's an element that we're like, reality TV is like, we get to see it, this happening to real people, you know, quote unquote real people.
Right.
And it's like, it's this weird sadistic audience love where we're like, oh, we kind of like to see that downfall.
I kind of see The Real Housewives for me as I'm driving slowly by a car crash in a very nice neighborhood. That's my analogy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you're just in this really nice neighborhood, watching this housewife's marriage fall apart, watching this couple going bankrupt, watching women fight on the corner.
It's the best.
It's the best. I just never understand why women would want to be cast on these shows either.
I mean, I think some of them have, like, some are successful business women. Some are higher profile women that it's like, you know, it's, I'm sure there's an element of it where you're there and it's a platform and you can use it to sell yourself. You know, I'm also sure there's a financial gain to being on a high profile television show.
Right. But at the same time, at what price glory, right? So I'm going to go on this show and all of a sudden things out of my skeletons in my closet will be revealed that I didn't know that people would find out, or my personal life is getting a little bit too personal.
But that, I think that just goes to, you know, the individual, whether like how comfortable they are and how willing they are to go to a certain place. Like, I think if you go in accepting the fact that like things will come out that I might not want to come out, but is that worth the price of going on the show?
Right. But there's things that come out that you don't know are going to come out. Like, I don't know that, you know, there's been times where people's finances have been in question.
I think if I were going on the show, I just would have to accept, like, I would have to think of the worst possible thing about me to come out and just say that's going to come out on the show. And am I willing to do that?
I don't know. You know what? For me, it's like, you know what? You want to be on the show? Be on the show because it's entertaining for me. I personally, if I was a real housewife, I would not do the show.
I think you'd do well in the Real Housewife world.
Why?
Because you're grossly flamboyant. Just what, like, is the over the top?
I am over the top, but yeah. Grossly flamboyant sounds like you're writing for a goddamn Charles Dickens
novel.
No,
I just like, you're the type of person that if a neighbor
grossly flamboyant,
like,
Merry
if a neighbor
Christmas.
Just like bugged you the wrong way, you're gonna call like the tax agency on them.
If a neighbor didn't cut their grass, oh, I've complained. There was a neighbor who had they parked their car on their lawn. I'm like, don't do that. So I called the city on those neighbors. I called the city on that other neighbor that never would take their garbage cans in.
Do you have nothing to do with your day?
I have a lot to do with my day, but I'm trying
to
make the
work. And this is what you're deciding to do with your time?
No, I'm on a, what is it called?
Nobody Asked, Nobody Cared tour?
No, again, not funny. I'm on this campaign to make people better people. And people should not park their cars on their lawn when they have a garage. It's rude. People should cut their lawn when it's over 6 feet tall. These are making people better people. And if it means me calling the FBI in, I'll do that.
Yeah, you've even left notes for our the mailman. Oh, because she mail was on the right day.
Okay, the mail person, it's not man anymore, it's person.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Isn't this interesting? I wasn't getting my mail on Mondays or Fridays. What's that tell you?
That maybe you're not getting letters.
No,
as much as you
know me.
You are.
I get a lot of mail. I get a lot of autographs. I get a lot of bills. And guess what? No mail on Mondays. No mail on Fridays. Guess what? No mail before a long weekend. Guess what? No mail before a holiday. You know, so then I started asking everyone on the street, hey, do you get mail on Mondays? Come to think of it, no. What about Fridays? Come to think of it, no. So then I called the post office and I made a complaint. And then I wrote a note and printed it out on the mailboxes, because we have community boxes that said, hey, mail person, can you start delivering mail on Mondays and Fridays? I don't know what you're doing. Go do your damn job. Guess what we get now?
Mail on Mondays and Fridays?
Yeah, and before holidays. Thank you, Marshall, for your help in the neighborhood.
Yeah, but Josh and Rachel, my brother and sister, your kids, said they went to the mailbox one day and saw that note ripped up and torn by the mail person.
She ripped it up in shreds, but you know what? Got my mail on Monday.
Good for you.
Yeah, got my mail on Monday. So there you go.
Yeah, I think you do very well in The Real Housewives.
I probably would. I actually probably would do really well.
You like to stir shit up. You like to call things as they are.
Never, never.
Your posts on Facebook are a reason why you'd be great as a dramatic Real Housewife.
Because I'm real. Everything about me is real. Real good.
I was going to say real annoying.
Okay, Debbie Downer.
I feel like like, you've always been ahead of the curve with the Housewives series, but the one that I think you were behind with was Potomac.
I'm never behind.
You were. I think Potomac, I was really getting into. And then I was like, oh, you need to watch Potomac. It's so good. And even you were like, I watched the first season. I'm not sure yet.
No, it's kind of boring.
And I kept saying, just watch it. Just watch it. And when's the point where that turned for you?
Well, can I tell you why I didn't watch it to start?
Yeah.
You know I have a fear of flying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know what happened in the Potomac River a few years ago?
No.
That plane crash landed in the Potomac River.
Okay.
And then I get just anxiety about flying. So if you mention Potomac right away, I think about a plane crashing in the water. So that's why I didn't watch it to start.
It's not the real pilots of Potomac. It's the Real Housewives. There's no, it's not all about planes and flying.
It's the real fear of flying. That's what it is.
That's a different show entirely. Like that has nothing to do with the show. Just the fact that it's the same location.
I'm just explaining. I'm opening up my heart and soul and my fears to you, and you turn it into a joke. I'm telling you.
I'm not turning it into a joke.
The reason why I didn't watch it is because when I think Potomac, I think about that plane crash, and then I get nervous, and I don't want to watch a show.
Well, are you happy you did watch it?
Yes.
Yeah, so wait, when's the point that you turned and we were like, oh, I'm actually really enjoying this? Because at first, I think you were
Season one, season one with Housewives are interesting because it's like, okay, a brand new cast of characters. What's their backstory? Who are these people? And I just couldn't relate to any of these people in the cast. I just couldn't relate to them. I think they were also all guarded. I think season one were these women, they were all too guarded for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, hello, Giselle. Oh, hello, Karen. How are you? Good. I have etiquette. So do I. Blah, blah, blah. And there was no drama. And then you kept saying to me, wait, keep watching, keep watching. You were the one that kept saying, keep watching. And then when it turned and the cracks in the dam happened and the water started to spray out and this one's going bankrupt and this one's having fights and this one has issues with her husband, then I was like, ooh, I like this one.
So you're happy watching Potomac?
Yeah, I'm still afraid of flying, but I'm enjoying Potomac.
Well, I think we'll both enjoy the guest today. It's because we're doing one of the Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yes, the show that you got me to watch.
Yeah, so I'm actually influencing you once for this, like, first time in a while.
And the thing with our guest, she's known, her catchphrase is, Ben, what's her catchphrase?
The word on the street.
The word on the street is that I'm the word on the street.
Let's see how clever you are. Can you use word on the street while introducing
Let me think.
While introducing her. Because for me, it'll come, you know, that quickly. For you.
I think the word on the street is that our guest today is Giselle Bryant.
Okay, that wasn't done correctly. Because when you say word on the street, you can't say, I think. You got to be more like, you know.
Word on the street is our guest today is Giselle Bryant.
Give that like a 7.
Then you do it.
Word on the street? Is our guest today is Giselle Bryant. That's what she said. She says it with some sass.
Sorry, I'm not as sassy as you.
Okay, just do some sass and then we'll get to her.
Word on the street is our guest is Giselle Bryant.
Okay, can I just push the button and get...
Yeah, let's just get into
now,
it.
Now, do I push a button or is it the space bar that I get?
I don't Zoom. Touch the space bar.
Is this the one for Zoom? What am I doing?
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you? We're so excited, Giselle, that you're here. Oh my God. Word on the street. There she is, live in the flesh.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So I guess the first biggest question we have is, how did the Real Housewives of Potomac become part of pop culture?
What do you mean? Have you met me? You just met me. I mean, listen. We were so excited to be part of the Bravo Real Housewives franchise. When we shot the first season, we did not know that we were going to be housewives until they announced to the world that we were going to be housewives. So we filmed the whole season, had no clue. And I just feel like we were a great addition to just like all of the franchises that they had. And it took us a little time for the folks to realize that we were here. But I think pop culture has decided we're here and we're here to stay.
Explain to me, how could you film a first season and not know you were part of the Housewife franchise?
They said to us, we don't know what you guys are going to be. Meaning, I don't know whether you guys remember Ladies of London.
Yeah.
Ladies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the thoughts were, from what I understand, that we were going to be ladies of something. Ladies of Maryland, ladies of Potomac, ladies of something.
Okay.
And they wanted, from what I understand, they wanted to expand the franchise. They wanted more cities, but they really weren't sure where they were going to go. They came to D.C. This was the problem. They came to D.C. There was the Real Housewives of D.C. that did not work out properly.
Right.
And I think that that was what the hesitation was. And so once we got up and running and filming and Bravo started seeing the footage, they were like, okay, these girls are our next franchise.
Because when you make it to a reunion, when you get to sit next to Andy Cohen, you know you've arrived as a housewife.
Yes, yes, yes. And Andy has been so super supportive of us, which has been fantastic. I mean, he's really rooted for Potomac from day one.
Isn't it amazing, Giselle, that the Housewives are part of pop culture now?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, listen, we watch Atlanta, we see Bolo, we see...
Bolo.
I mean, it don't get more pop culture than that, okay?
Well, the thing was, I thought, okay, can we just talk about Atlanta for 1 second?
Sure.
So Bolo, it's like Bolo was, I don't know, did you see this episode with Bolo, Ben?
I didn't watch the Bolo
episode.
Okay,
the Bolo one, okay, he's all dressed with this Chanel stuff. There's Chanel all over his body. And it's like,
yes.
What's the point of the Chanel? Because everyone's looking at his penis. Like it was.
Right. He was trying to give us a very nice distraction, but it didn't work.
Okay. Right.
No one cared about Chanel, Louis Vuitton, Fendi. Nobody cared about any of that, okay? They just cared about the arm that he was carrying around between his legs.
You know what, Giselle, how do you, I always want love to know how you were cast in this.
Well, you have to remember, I was here since season one. So when they came to this area, it just so happened that the casting director and I had known each other for 20 years.
Yeah.
And he literally called me and was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, nothing. He was like, okay, great. I want you to be on the show. And I was like, what? For what? And then he said, think about it. I'm gonna call you tomorrow. So he called me the next day and he was like, this is what we're doing and you're doing it. I really wasn't given an option. And I said, okay. And here I am. I just really felt like, why not? You know what I mean? Like you live one life and, you know, if something like this happens, which is actually, you know, nice, then why not?
And you know what? Amazing thing with you is like, you know, when we always think about housewives, we always think they have this look, they've got this personality, you've got the package. But I find interesting with you is that you've got the best sound ups because when they do the interviews, it's always Giselle.
Yeah.
It's always Giselle's got the landing button.
Oh, no, because like, every time we watch it, I'm always like, Giselle just kind of, she tells it like it is.
Yes.
She has a great way about the way she speaks. It's just so on point. It has a nice amount of shade, but it's not too shady.
No, it's shady. It's shady.
To mix it up. Like I like to make it funny. So it's not so like I never want the show. And I feel like season five, we got into a little bit of a dark place. I never want to get into a dark place and just stay there. So I feel like the interview bites are always a good, great place for just shady funny.
Yes. When did you first realize you were famous?
Oh, wow. Probably last week. And I'm joking. probably around season 3-ish, you know, it took me a minute just because I tried not, you know, once we film the show and we're done with it, I try to be mentally done with it.
Yes.
So I try to go back to just living my life, you know, working on my businesses, being a mom to my kids. So, you know, but then little things would happen. Like I'd be in the post office with like a hat, shade. It's like totally you can't see me. And people are like, oh my God, it's Giselle. And I want to take a picture. And I'm like, but how did you know it was me? Like my walk? Like, how did you figure out it was me? Because you can't see my face. So things like that made me realize, wow, like the show really has the capacity to just make the entire world know your name.
It's interesting because I'm sitting here with my son right now and we watch the show as father and son. And I love how you are with your girls.
Aww.
I love you. I love you as a mom. I think you have a really good relationship with them because you talk to them about everything.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. I think that, you know, when I was growing up, a lot of things parents, I felt, didn't discuss with kids. They felt like it was taboo. They felt like kids need to be a little sheltered. And I never wanted to do that to my kids because I always wanted them to not have to learn from things in the street. I want you to learn it from me first because I'm going to give you the real. I'm going to be honest. what your little friends are going to tell you in the street is probably a lie. So I try to just really talk to them about everything.
I think also, too, because you were a single mom for so long, that you, your kids are like your support and you're their support.
Yeah.
There's this balance.
Yeah. And I need them. I'm sure they need me as a mother, but I need them just for my day-to-day life, you know, just to get up out of bed and get going and be productive and be, you know, to conquer the world. I need just the energy of my kids.
Yes. I need to. Well, I need my energy with my kids. Not all the time. He can be a pain. He can be a pain in the ass.
I mean,
a lot of times,
the pain in the ass goes both ways.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Nice.
For sure. Yes. And my kids are very clear that they, you know, half the time can't stand me. And I'm fine with that. I am team too much with them. I'm always twerking on them and everything. They think I'm ridiculous.
Oh my God. Giselle and I would be best friends. Because I'm so embarrassed.
He embarrasses me. It's a sight to be seen.
Like when I say to him, Ben, give me the tea. He's like, what? Like I talk like the housewives. I want to be, you know?
What's that tea?
Yeah.
What's funny is like I've realized with the way that we text each other recently, it's like, I don't know if you do this with your friends, like we use housewife gifts as ways to talk to each other.
Yes. Yes. I use my gifts like as responses to some of my friends and they're like, enough already. So, okay, we get it. You're a freaking housewife. Like, stop it.
but isn't that cool? Like you're a gif.
Yes, it's cool. This whole thing is cool. But you know, you got to live with the ups and downs. You got to live with the fact that everybody's in your business. Everybody's in your life. You can't turn it, you know, when you want to turn it off, you can't turn it off.
Can I say something about the Housewife franchise, which we were talking about earlier, Ben and I, before you came on? You are the second African-American franchise, which has really elevated the brand. It's become more mainstream and more inclusive. And because it was Atlanta by itself for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be honest with you, we had big shoes to fill. Because Atlanta is so successful and has been so successful since day one, you know, my hat goes off to Nene and Kenya and those ladies, like they kill it. Okay.
Yeah.
So when we came along, there was this big comparison and my position was like, please don't compare us to Atlanta. Like we could probably never fill their shoes. Like, don't do that to us. You're killing us here.
Yeah.
Like just let us stand on our own Potomac feet and let us be what we are. And finally, I feel like we're there and people don't try to compare us. But I'm grateful that the network realized that not all Black women reside in Atlanta. We are all over the country and there's some of us in Potomac. So
yes.
I was happy that they took a chance on another franchise. But be clear, if Atlanta were not as good, they probably would not have.
But I think there was, even if Atlanta wasn't good, there's a need for that because not all housewives are white.
Yes, correct. Correct.
Like, we're Jewish, and I was saying we should have a Jewish Housewives because that show would be a freaking hit.
Yes. And I feel like the best place for it would be New York, right?
Yes.
Or Jersey-ish. But
but the Jewish Housewives would be just an hour of complaining.
And I would never say that. You can say that. Yeah. I can't say that.
Buying, okay, looking for sales. And complaining and not having sex.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's all I know. That's my wife.
Yeah, that's at least like what you can say about your marriage.
That's my wife. Yeah. Do you want to ask just, let's ask about Word on the Street. Where'd that come from? You asked that.
Yeah. How did Word on the Street come about? Was Word on the Street your thing before The Housewives? Was that just as it started going? Like, how did Word on the Street come about?
Okay. So, you know, we have taglines.
Yeah.
You know, taglines is a huge ordeal. It's, you know, several people in the making to make them. Okay.
Yeah.
But you have to live with this tagline. So you've got to own it. Right. So the day season one that I was going to record my taglines, the ones that they had for me were just like horrible. Okay. They were just some bullshit. And I was like, I hate them.
Yeah.
So my hairstylist, Cal,
yes.
You've watched the show.
Yeah.
Cal is. Okay. So he was doing my hair and he was listening to these stupid taglines. And he was like, Giselle, the word on the street is you're the word on the street. And I was like, you goddamn right. So I went to, you know, where the booth was for me to not booth, but like where the microphone was for me to record. I walked straight in there and I said that and I said it like three times and I was done with it. I said, I'm not even reading those other taglines. I'm not doing it. And they were like, Giselle being a problem again. And that was it. It stuck. And Andy ended up loving it. So the next season, I fought to keep it. They never let you keep your same tagline season after season. Mm-hmm. I fought for it and Andy let me keep it.
You got to say your tagline.
Well, this one, I don't have it anymore. I let the word on the street go.
I know, but I want to hear it. I want to hear the tagline from season one and two. Word on the street is, I'm the word on the street.
So word on the street is, I'm the word on the street.
See, there you go.
Season two was, word on the street is, I'm still the goddamn word. Okay, it wasn't that, but it was like, I'm still the word on the street.
Well, it was funny, even when it got around in my friend group that I started watching Potomac, one of my best friends texted me, he's like, word on the street is you started watching Potomac. Like, let's talk.
Word on the street took off.
Yes.
Like, people started t-shirts, they started tagging me, they started being like, I'm the word on the street, Giselle. And I'm like, we love the fans.
And word on the street means like what? You've got your ear to the ground. You know what the business is.
Yes. And word on the street is people are talking about you. And you're listening to whatever's happening. And, since people are talking about me, I am the word on the street.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
You know, it's very interesting because when we talk about the Real Housewives, people always say, how real are the Real Housewives? And nothing could be more real than the fight with Monique and Candace.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that was a bad one.
Are we good? Between Candace and Monique?
It is.
Good night.
You going to drag me too? That was horrible. That was a very dark day. That was something that I never wanted to happen on this franchise. You know, I take this show is like my baby. Like, I started day one and we protect the baby, right?
Yes.
At all costs. And that was out of hand. So I really felt like, you know, we don't want to show that as a depiction or view of Black women. And, right. You know, it was very bothersome for a very long time. But we're out of the dark place now.
Yes. Because we were talking about that, about the depiction. How about,
yeah.
Because people have perceptions about Jewish people. People have perceptions about Black women. And you don't want to ever perpetuate that.
Yes, correct.
Right?
Yeah, well,
you don't.
And I think, like, because you had one of the most poignant scenes, I think it was after the fight, an episode or two after, where you do talk about it. And you say, like, this was a transgression on our part to be showing that, and we can't be doing that. And it was a really, like, powerful moment of understanding for the viewer of what the real damage is from moments like that on television.
No one should put their hands on anyone.
The moment you put your hands on somebody,
that's where you draw the line.
Narrative, the Black women continue to be angry and violent, that's a problem.
We have been able to hold ourselves above the stereotype. And in 5 minutes, she took it away.
And that was what the issue was with all the other ladies and how we felt about it. So we kind of said to the producers, like, look, we really want to have a real conversation about this because, you know, forget the fourth wall and all of that and forget our storylines and whatever we're talking about. Like,
yes.
This right here is so much more important because this affects how we're viewed and how we live our daily lives. Like, every day we're fighting this fight out here with everybody thinking that we're violent, that we're angry, that we can only communicate via violence. And we have to just, so it became bigger than the fight.
Yes.
It was more important for us to discuss us as women and us as Black women and what this means to us and our children. So that's why we had that conversation. And that conversation went on for a while. But then after I realized that the person that came to apologize wasn't apologizing, and I said, okay, I've had enough.
I thought that to me was like, look, at the whole thing was powerful and the message that you were trying to shut down. But I love this fact that when you went and basically were face to face with Monique, she just didn't get it.
No, didn't get it at all. To this day, probably does not get it. And that's fine.
Why is she not getting it? Why is she not getting that she was the instigator in this and she had fault? She had fault. Why is she not getting it, do you think?
I really don't know. I've tried that. I've asked myself that question. And I've to the point where I'm just like, you know what? That's her story and that's her journey. And I don't know. But what became more important to us was just really talking about that story and making it clear that we are not ever going to act like we're not Black women.
Right.
And we don't understand how this affects the view of us. So like we want to make that very clear. So I think and I hope that came across.
It did.
Yeah, no, I think it came across very loud and clear throughout it.
I felt you were the advocate.
Yeah, and you know, when we first start these kind of shows, they say, look, you guys are not like the poster child for Black women, for all Black women. And that's kind of like been your, that's like your stance. You know, you represent Giselle. You don't represent, you know, the race.
Mm-hmm.
But when that happened, we were all like, no, we represent Black women and we're proud to do it. So we're not going to fight. Right. And we're not going to show ourselves as animals. You know, we're going to have drama. We're going to have some disagreements, but we're going to keep it classy.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to move off of the fight.
Thanks.
Because I think we're going to move off because I wanted to hear it from you. I just really wanted to hear it from you. And because I felt that really throughout that season, you were an advocate.
Yeah.
And, against it. And you're also trying to really get Monique to realize the wrong way she handled it. Anyways, was talking to the wall. Monique the wall. But anyways, yeah, thanks, Monique. And then she spins it around, talks about her kids. It's like, I don't think so. Anyways, I want to ask you, okay? Word on the street with me is, I don't like Karen. I don't like Karen Huger. I think she's fake. I think she's the grand dame of nothing. I feel she's like bullshit because Karen's like, oh, honey, I'm the grand dame and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, the grand dame of what? Like you're, it's like fakery. She's a grand dame of fakery. What are your thoughts, Giselle? Come on.
Agreed. She is, and it's so really sad because I've known Karen for a while. And outside of the show, she's fine. Outside of the cameras, she's fine. But once those cameras go on, it's like this whole different persona that she's trying to create and make believe land. And it's like, we're all hip here. We all get that this is phony baloney.
Yes.
So cut it out. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
So happy to know that you guys are able to identify with the fakery.
Well, because that was something after season one, because I was started watching Potomac and I was like, you need to start watching Potomac. Yeah, and he was as very big as I can't stand Karen. This is too fake for me. But we also have an argument too, where season one is always that, like, you know, let's
guard
ourselves
up.
Into it.
Guard is up.
And then once we start learning about who people are, then, you know, cracks start to form.
Like, honestly, honey, when those cracks started with Karen Huger and those taxes, I was like, fuck yeah. I was like, yeah, that's about time. It's about time. And she was trying to, like, even then she has, okay, she has this PR meeting. She has a meeting with the PR with this, what's the guy's name?
Was it Matt?
Matt.
Matt. It's like, who the fuck is Matt? You know? And then Matt's like, are you the assistant? Are you working at her bank? What are your friend? Like, what's going on, Matt? Why are you even here? What's all, like, it's just bullshit.
Exactly what you're saying is what I was saying. I'm like, who are you? We've never seen you. What are you doing? And it was so funny because I literally thought, he was her assistant. Ashley thought he was somebody else. Like, we all assumed he was a person in her life.
No.
And he's none of those things. No. Okay. He's just, I don't know why he's there. Couldn't understand it. But, you know, Karen is a perpetual cartoon character of nonsense. And, you know, that is where I leave her. But no, I do not like her. She's not a friend of mine.
It's really interesting because when you look at Robin, I think Robin addresses truthfully and honestly and being very raw about her finances.
Yeah.
She will address those things and say, hey, listen, we screwed up. We made some bad investments. Someone took our money. We had to downsize. And then with Karen, it's like, you know, if you're going to be a spin doctor, you better have those freaking bandages nearby when you screw up. You
know, yeah.
Because she's a spin doctor, but she does more surgery on her spinning.
But that is the exact reason why we've always been like, hey, just own your shit. If you don't tell your story, somebody else is going to tell it for you. I love how Robin's always like, hey, I didn't pay my taxes. And I'm in the hole and my name is in the blogs now. And I got to pay him. Like, I love the realness of it. And that's what you will always get from Robin. But it's to the point now where when Karen talks, we don't believe anything that comes out of her mouth. Like, not one thing. So.
And do you no longer have a relationship with her off camera?
With who?
With Karen.
Not anymore. No, no. Uh-uh. She's just done too much damage as it relates to just lying that I don't care to. Like, if I'm gonna have a conversation with somebody off camera on my time, I want it to be like a real conversation, and you're never going to get that from her.
When you wore the Free Uncle Ben shirt and tax reform and Free Karen Huger, you know you were stirring shit, Giselle. Come on.
Yeah, that's why I did it.
Yeah. Robin and I are going to walk out, and I'm going to allow you to read everything that's on the back of my shirt.
Wait a second, just slow down. Free Karen.
What is that?
Free Uncle Ben, tax reform.
I'm going to be honest. I thought, you know, I had the jacket on and I was really clear, like, you know, Karen called this press conference. She's going to get us together. She's going to be honest about what's going on in her life. It's in the Washington freaking Post. Like, you can't really lie about this.
Yeah.
And so I had no intentions of taking my jacket off. But when she sat there and ran circles around the truth and, you know, just evaded everything, I was like, I'm taking my jacket off. I'm exposing this stupid ass T-shirt that I made because you're a liar.
When someone can't put their wig on straight, you know their life's not straight. How can you have control of your life when you don't even control your wig?
Amen.
This is one of my favorite storylines, most questionable storylines on Potomac. Mm-hmm. Does Michael Darby just like grabbing ass? Like, is this just a thing?
Where do I begin?
I mean, you can start from the bottom, like he enjoys to do, but.
Okay, this conversation is going left. Okay, yeah. I absolutely love Michael. I think he's great for Ash. Oh, I don't want to say that.
He's great for ass or great for Ashley?
He's entertaining.
Okay. Yeah.
Highly entertaining. The whole butt grab thing, I'm just convinced that's just his thing.
Yeah.
That's just, yeah. Just his thing. That's where I'm leaving it.
I agree. I think he grabs ass for fun, and it was one too many grass grabs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, if that's your thing, you're gonna do it to the wrong person, and, you know, maybe that happened, maybe it didn't, but I just feel like, you know, I don't think he'll be doing it again. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
I think he's leaving all butts alone.
A no butt zone. No butt zone. Well, let me ask you, what housewife do you really don't like in the history of your seasons there? Who do you not like? Who bothers you the most?
In Potomac?
Yes.
I don't like Karen. I think she's just fake and phony. You know, the relationships go up and down. I mean, there was, you know, when Candace first came, we had a rocky road. But me and Candace are so, you know, we've gotten to such a good place. I think she's amazing. She's a smart girl. She's got a lot of facets to her. So I think it's just over the course of time, your relationships with the ladies change. But like, I think I'm always going to really just not like Karen.
Yeah. Well, oh, good. We have that in common. I've always liked, well, we like you the best. That's why we're talking to you. That's why we're talking to you. I find Candace needs to stop crying. She cries too much.
She does cry a lot, but that's
all
thing.
The time.
You know, and not to get back to the fight, but you know, everybody wanted her to stop crying about it.
Yes.
And I felt like that's unfair to her. Like, who are we to decide when you are over a trauma?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that was a trauma.
Yeah.
And it's not for us to decide. So if the girl wants to still cry about it, I wouldn't be crying about it. But if she wants to cry about it, then let her cry.
What is your guilty pleasure? What do you like to watch in general?
Oh, gosh. I love, what do I like to watch? So every night I watch one episode of The Goldbergs.
Oh, I liked you so much before.
Really?
The Goldbergs? Come on, Giselle, really?
I love that show. And I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me.
Like when it was on, I don't know if it's still on. So these are episodes that are on Hulu.
Yes.
The mother is so like me on steroids. She's so like all over her kids. She's always trying to hug them and do like stupid shit with them. And they hate her for it. So I can identify with her.
Out of all, that's her guilty pleasure.
Well, I mean,
guilty pleasures
don't need to be publicly loved. They're a guilty pleasure.
True.
They're for you and you alone.
That's true.
There we go.
What housewife do you like? Which housewife franchise do you like to watch besides Potomac?
Love Atlanta, of course.
Yeah.
And I like the Beverly Hills Girls.
Which one? Which one in particular?
Love Erica. You know, Erica Jane can get so mad at you and you would never know it because her face doesn't move. And that's why we love her. And she's proud of it.
Yeah.
I like Kyle. I think that Kyle has, it's an artwork how she's been able to remain semi-neutral amongst the group.
Yes.
For the past, I don't know, 12, 13 seasons, however long they've been on. Atlanta, I love all those girls.
Yes.
Portia's hilarious. Kenya is just, you know, in your face with shade, like in your face shade.
Yes. Yes. You were going to ask something, Ben.
Yeah. I would say, Giselle, what housewife off the show are you closest with?
Well, you know, Robin, me and Robin are super tight.
Yeah.
And Ashley, I really love Ashley. You know, she just had a baby, another baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Portia are cool. Cynthia, Kenya. Nene, you know, Nene's not with us anymore, but love me some Nene.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
When you look back, there's going to come a time when you leave the Housewives. When you look back,
yes.
What did you want from this experience, Giselle, and what are you getting out of it?
So when I first started, you know, like I said, we didn't know what the hell was going to happen with us, but I said to myself, season one, I'm going to do this for 5 seasons and then I'm done with it. And in those 5 seasons, I'm going to start a business and I'm going to build my platform to do whatever the hell I want to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I've done. And, you know, moving forward, I just want it. And I'm going to say Bravo has supported me in all of that. Like, you know, a lot of times housewives want to showcase their businesses or whatever. And, you know, they don't necessarily show it. Mm-hmm. They might not. But, you know, Bravo has been so supportive of whatever I've wanted to do. And moving forward, I don't know. You know, every year I say I'm quitting and they don't let me. So I don't know. Whenever they allow me to say goodnight, I think I just want to have a business up and running and enjoy my kids.
It's interesting. Whenever I see you on a reunion, I always find Andy has a real soft spot for you. I always seem to feel Andy really likes you.
I appreciate that. I mean, I think he's kind of fair with people that he knows are going to tell him the truth and be straight up with him. And he knows he's going to get that out of me. He knows I'm not sitting there to bullshit him. And I think he respects that. Like, I think he's sat with enough housewives and enough nonsense to know the difference. And, you know, he knows, if I ask Giselle a question, she's going to tell me the truth and she's probably going to be funny and, we're going to move on.
Well, I got to say that you are exactly what we see on television. Like,
yes.
I didn't know, you never know what you're going to expect, but I just talking to you, it's like, oh my God, it's fucking her. Like, it's really Giselle. Like, there's no bullshit. Like, you really are, you really are.
Well, that's the best thing about you, is that you tell it like it is. You're not afraid to.
Yeah.
Because word on the street is you're great, and you are.
Thank you. And you know what? I said to myself, and I said to my kids, when I first started this, I was like, I asked my kids if it was okay for me to do it. And they were like, Mommy, you're going to be on TV? Hell yeah. They were so excited. But I said to them, like, look, there are going to be people that hate me. There's going to be people that love me. But I'm going to let you guys know that Mommy is going to be Mommy. I'm going to be me no matter what, because I can't keep up with anything else. Like, I can't keep up with, I don't know how the hell Karen keeps up with the facade. Like, I can't keep up with that. I just got to be me. And so that's, I feel like, what the fans appreciate and resonate with.
You know what? Lying is a lot of work. Oh, you've been awesome. But listen, thank you. We appreciate your time. You're going to be in great company. You're great. You're great, Giselle. Yeah. And go kick Karen's ass.
Will do. Will do. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, Giselle. Bye. Nice meeting you.
Bye, Giselle. Cheers. Word on the street.
What's your word on the street?
Word on the street is I really like Giselle Bryant.
I thought she's great.
She's great, except for one thing.
Well, what's the one thing?
She watches the Goldbergs. Oh, my God. I said that so Jewish.
But it's we said, what's your guilty pleasure? Guilty pleasures are things that they're guilty pleasures.
Guilty
pleasures. They don't have to be good.
No, guilty pleasure to me, well, maybe. A guilty pleasure to me is something you know, you get pleasure about in secret, right? But really, out of all the things to get guilty pleasure about, the Goldbergs, she shouldn't have been telling anybody about that. She should have lied. She should have lied. That should not be her guilty pleasure.
But she's not a liar. She's telling it like it is. She's honest. She's asking for the guilty pleasure, saying the guilty pleasure.
Who would have thought? I don't even watch the Goldbergs, and I'm Jewish. I won't even, and you're Jewish too, but I wouldn't watch that. Anyways, I think she's great. You know what's great about her?
Mm-hmm.
She's exactly what her character is. There is no BS about her.
No, she tells it like it is.
Word on the street is she's straight up, and she'll even tell you, I don't like this housewife.
Yeah.
Her and I would be friends.
I think so.
Her and I would be friends.
I think you both got a good amount of shade to you.
Well, it's not about being shade. I just think that
I think you both like to spill the tea. I think you're both upfront and honest.
What does spill the tea mean?
To reveal the gossip.
But where does the phrase come from?
I don't know where it came from, but it's used.
Like, is tea, when they say spill the tea, does it mean like you're spilling?
Share the secrets.
No, but I think that came from maybe spilling the tea was you spill your tea like a drink. But the capital T, the tea from tea is used as truth. Like, we're going to spill the truth. Like, I mean, that's what I think it comes from. Does that make sense?
Maybe. I don't know the origin, but I'm just saying you both like to do it.
But I think she's just so chill. She's so honest. She has some really cool stories. I think the story, more importantly, is about that fight.
Mm-hmm.
That fight. I think if people haven't watched the Housewives of Potomac, you have to watch it to see this fight.
Well, not only the fight.
To see a fight and the repercussions of the fight more so.
Well, and the moments after with her where she really breaks down of like what was wrong about it to have to be doing that on this platform.
Right. And for somebody to be on a platform where you can actually elevate that and to change the stereotype and to change the narrative to actually go and not only be aggressive, she was so physical.
Yeah.
And that scene goes on for quite a few minutes.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the interesting things that she said was, you know, going into the show, they realize the responsibility of themselves on that show to be like, we need to use this platform to explain why this is wrong and be powerful as these women and not just like take a step back from it.
Right. And I loved in the series too, when Giselle faces her because she's expecting she's going to apologize. And the fact that she doesn't take ownership. She doesn't apologize. She spins the narrative about something else. Yeah. And Giselle on the series, which is actually very true with what she's telling us today, is like, I ain't having any part of this anymore with you.
Yeah.
And she walks away from her and says, I'm not, we're done.
Yeah.
And that was the truth. That was the truth. At any rate, it's always cool to talk to somebody who's part of our guilty pleasure. And what's interesting is when you're watching a show called The Real Housewives and the woman you're talking to is exactly what you see on TV, it reemphasizes how real that show is.
Exactly.
Right?
I like the whole thing. I think it was a fun time to spend with her.
But I do think we should go and pitch the Jewish Housewives. I think maybe after we end this podcast, you and I should sit down.
You know, write up the deck.
We'll write up the deck. We'll go cast some Jewish Housewives. Mm-hmm. Just put an ad out. Do you not have sex with your husband? Do you like buying things wholesale? Do you complain a lot? We'd like to talk to you. We'd like to cast you on a new show.
Yeah, you can have like you can start figuring out the drama scenes you're going to have.
The fights we're going to have. Yeah, I think so. Why don't we do that? Why don't we end this podcast now? Let's sit down. Let's put an ad out.
Okay.
You good with that?
Yeah, let's do that upstairs.
Okay. And do you think your mom would apply?
Absolutely not.
Why?
She doesn't do TV.
Okay.
She's not over the top like you are.
No, she's not. She's not. I'm more of a Jewish housewife than my wife is.
No.
Let's just say that.
She's the grounding force of the family.
Yeah, let's just say that. Okay, well, let's start putting that ad out.
Okay.
Jewish housewives, and we'll pitch it to Bravo. How's
perfect.
That?
Perfect.
Okay, good. Word on the street is Jewish housewives coming to a TV set near you.
My, oh my, wasn't that fun, folks?
I think you're giving me a my, oh my grin.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.